I absolutely, over the past year or so, I felt convinced that it was purely a matter of time before Mark Elifer will be extradited to Australia. Certainly many have doubted that this day would arrive, but having been present in the vast majority of the 74, 75 or so hearings here in Israel, mainly in the Jerusalem District Court, it became very clear that Mark Elifer's charade was about to disappear, and ultimately she was going to be placed back on that plane to Australia.
So what do we expect to happen after she arrives there?
Well, firstly, there are a number of unknowns due mainly to the COVID-19 situation. There is quarantine and perhaps a number of other restrictions that she will have to face. Then some of the reports have said that she will be placed in Melbourne's only female-only prison. I can't confirm that, but that's what the reports are saying. Ultimately, there's a judicial process in Australia. She will be offered legal representation, a public defender. Alternatively, if she's in a position to cover a private defender, then she can do that as well. And that's when we're going to see the first interesting question to see whether or not members of her community are going to continue providing her this financial support that she was provided here in Israel, where she had some of Israel's top lawyers, PR experts. So that would be a very interesting thing to look out for. And then once
you're talking about, I presume, the ultra-Orthodox community in Melbourne?
Correct. Let's not forget, she was assisted in evading justice ultimately in 2008 when allegations surfaced. The Addis Israel school made the quick decision to get her on a plane as soon as possible out of Australia, and this was actually provided in a ruling, in a civil case ruling for Dasi Ehrlich, one of the alleged victims, where the judge determined that the school had actively tried to assist her, assist Mark Elifer in evading justice. So it is a question to see whether they or anyone else, perhaps from the community here in Israel, will assist her. Let's not forget that the Israeli police have already recommended some time ago to the Israeli prosecution to indict former Health Minister Yaakov Litzman for allegedly interfering in this case and trying to prevent Elifer from ever being extradited. So there are a number of interested parties who may potentially be interested in continuing to support Mark Elifer in one way or another.
Now, we're talking about 74 separate cases of even rapes, child rape, yes, and sexual abuse. How many victims are we talking about?
Well, okay, so we need to clarify here. There are three alleged victims at the moment. The three who have come forward to the police and provided statements. We are aware of numerous allegations that there are at least a dozen more alleged victims, and that is consistent with what we see, how pedophiles or alleged pedophiles actually behave. So none of that would surprise me, and I've had confirmation through other channels that that is indeed the case. But here we're talking about 74 offences, charges against these three alleged victims, complainants in legal terms we're calling them, they are referred to, and those include some of the serious, more serious offences, including rape. And when you're talking about a female school principal on students, on female students, it's the legal definition of rape includes digital penetration, and therefore that those are considered rape. So there are a range of offences, and what we're going to see back to the process in what happens in Australia, there will be a committal hearing, which that essentially is an opportunity for the defence team to have a look at the evidence that the prosecution has against their client, and it goes on sometimes for a day, sometimes for a couple of days. It just depends on the number of victims, number of offences. In this case, I presume it may go on for a couple of days at least. And then once that process is concluded, it may then go on to trial. And why I say it may, because often what happens is the defense team will try to enter a plea deal with the prosecution. If they believe that they are doomed and there is overwhelming evidence, they may decide to accept some sort of a plea deal, which ultimately would mean that their client, Lysol, will receive a lower sentence for essentially saving the victims the pain and suffering and the challenges, additional challenges of testifying in a court of law, and saving taxpayer money, etc., etc.
Now, Malka Leifer is obviously a well-known, or should we say infamous, figure amongst the Australian Jewish community. Is this a big story for Australia as a whole, as the extradition made news headlines there?
Absolutely. It's been news headlines for the last couple of years, and certainly with the last couple of hearings and developments, when it was determined that Leifer will be extradited to Australia, it has certainly gained momentum, and it's featured in all the main media publications in Australia. And I should note that it is Australia Day tomorrow, and a separate local Australian survivor of child sexual abuse has been recognised, appointed this year's Australia Day representative. So it's really a coincidental development, but I think the issue of child sexual abuse in Australia has certainly been in the spotlight over the last few years for a number of reasons. And now this latest development with Malka Leifer will ensure that it continues to remain in the headlines in the coming future while the judicial process gets underway.
Now, above and beyond the terrible damage, of course, to the victims, this whole affair has also damaged Australian-Israel bilateral ties, hasn't it?
Well, it certainly did have some sort of an impact. It caused some strains, more so, I think, anger, disappointment, and those types of feelings as opposed to anything concrete. And as I've said all along, I think that would be a matter of time once Leifer is extradited back to Australia. We will see the calming of any strain, and I do believe that in the vast majority of the Israeli government and other officials would certainly have wanted Malka Leifer extradited to Australia as soon as possible. But there were interested parties who clearly are very powerful and influential and ultimately assisted Leifer in dragging out such a protracted and difficult process. But they failed in the end, and the three courageous victims who led this incredible charge, determined and with such dignity, ultimately they are the victors. And let's not forget, the actual case has not even commenced yet. So far, all the legal battles, hearings have all been about the extradition. Now they've had to fight so hard just to get to the very beginning.